Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 118, all stanzas. As thirst the heart for cooling flood, so longs my soul, O living God, to taste thy grace. When unto thee shall I draw near, O when within thy courts appear, and see thy face. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 118. Scripture reading for this morning hour may be found in the first epistle, general of John, thereof the third chapter, 1 John chapter 3. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless in that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, and thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, and that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Case Alleman, who is still undergoing testing. Chad Outshorn, who must go to the hospital again in this week. And also Mr. Jeff Niels, who was spared through an accident in the week that has gone by. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, all-sufficient God, who dwelleth above in that place where no man can approach unto, except thou dost cleanse him and wash him from all his transgression and iniquity. And yet, who does command us, who doth invite us to draw nigh to thy footstool, that alone can be in and through thine only begotten Son, in whom is that righteousness with which thou art so well pleased, and in whom thou dost view thy sinful church in themselves, but who are in thy sight in him without spot and without wrinkle. Lord, thou dost command thy church to lay before thee all their needs. And thou knowest what is their greatest need. Also in this morning hour, when thou hast spared us to this day, given us to approach to thee, even in thy house of prayer. And Lord, we are called to worship thee. We are called to revere thee, to exalt thee. But we have nothing of such a reverence in our hearts. And also thy own people, thou knowest how carnal, thou knowest how of the earth earthy, that their heart remains even after received grace. So that in this morning hour, that in themselves they must testify that there is nothing but poverty, that they have nothing whereof that they can do what is commanded of them, because they are so defiled with sin. Lord, wilt thou give what thou commandest, and wilt thou command what thou wilt? Oh, provide for thy people this day. Oh, we can read in thy word of one that had a withered arm. Thou didst say to stretch it forth, but it was an impossibility. Oh, thou gavest everything from thy own side. Thou didst make it possible with thy own power, by thy Spirit. Lord, thou can make it possible also this day. Oh, thou can make it a reality in the life of thy own children. That this day, that their heart may go out to thee in holy longings, with spiritual desires. Oh, that there might be a little crumb of truth within. Oh, that there may be a holy yearning, even as they may know of days gone by. Oh, maybe so long ago already. Lord, wilt thou revive thy own work in the midst of the years? In wrath, remember mercy. Thy own children who walk through this wilderness of this life and who have nothing whereof they can continue that spiritual life from themselves. They can have no food and no drink from all this world. And their own heart that is so full of carelessness and slothfulness, except thou wilt make it different. Lord, may thou remember thy own church this day. Maybe a long time already on the way. Maybe already many years. But they can see so little of thy own work. Oh, there is so much sin. And there is so much transgression. And there is so much worldliness. that does lie so often in their hearts, that is covering thy own work, that seed that thou hast placed there. Oh, that fire that used to burn so vehemently, maybe even in the days of their youth. Lord, that it seems covered all over with ashes, that they must fear, and that it was themselves that had begun, that it was never thy work. Oh, Lord, could it please thee to give a little token this day in this thy house of prayer? Oh, how can they go without that daily manna? Oh, thou gavest it from heaven. Oh, may they receive a little crumb of it in this day, that the meek might eat and be satisfied. Oh, that they may receive a little courage in a way which is so discouraging from their own side. When they thought to go on in a holy life, but they must experience the opposite. Oh, Lord, wilt thou show them and that thou hast paid the full price? Wilt thou reveal thyself to thy people for the first time or by renewal, as he that has come to seek and to save that which is lost? Oh, as he that has come to pay what that people would not and could not pay anymore, that they may see that beauty in thy declaration, wherein thou didst say, it is finished. Oh, give them to look, Lord, upon that finished work, and that thou may give a little of that true saving faith in exercise, that the poor and the needy may praise thy name, that so the poor may have hope this day in thy house of prayer. Oh, that thy mercy and thy grace may be magnified to the highest, that thy dear Son, in all his mediatorial work, may receive all the honor and all the glory for the salvation that has alone come from his side. All that is might and that is power may be looked unto in this day, may be trusted in, and that a people that are so weak in that warfare and that cannot win one battle against the temptations of the prince of darkness, oh, that they may be given to sing a little in thy house of prayer. Oh, Lord, look upon those who cannot find a way. Oh, that thou may remember and give them to see something of their own wretchedness, Lord, that it may increase until they may work themselves even unto death. Oh, that they may see that that old covenant that is so broken, that there is a weakness in their flesh, so that it is a way that has become so impossible. Oh, there is a way only of death and everlasting destruction. Oh, that thou may reveal, even in this day, a new and a living way. Oh, should not that people so magnify and glorify thy holy name from the depths of their wretched state and condition? Lord, may thou give it in the midst of us in thy house this day. Oh, look upon us when we are by nature walking careless over this world. Oh, it might be even in a way of self-deception. It might be even in a way of hypocrisy, because our heart is so deceitful above all things. And Lord, to whom else can we go this day than unto thee? Because we cannot show it to ourselves. We cannot show it to one another. Oh, but wilt thou give that uncovering grace, that man may be exposed in all his dead state and condition by nature, that that deep fall may be bound upon the heart,
that man may be given to cry out in all his pharisaical righteousness, not daring any more to look up unto heaven, but having to smite upon his breast and cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, then there is hope. Then there is expectation. When there is none from our side, oh, look upon us. When we have no cares, when we have no concerns, when we are dead in sins and in trespasses, when there is no spiritual life, when we know nothing but religion of our mind, when we know nothing but a doctrine in words, oh, it is a truth, and that our fathers have given unto us by thy hand, that thou hast preserved even to this day. O Lord, we beseech thee. O come thou, come in the midst of us. O could it please thee that one, Lord, that even one, could it be one, in this day may be born again. O could it be, and the reason and the cause, that we must bring thy word this day, that there may be one walking in darkness, that may this day see something of thy marvelous light. Oh, that thou may awaken, that thou may quicken, that thou may give life from the dead. Wilt thou so bless thy word as we are unable to bless it, and give that in the midst of us there may be a yearning. Oh, that there may be a revival, or that many may be born in Zion while it is still a day of grace. The callings are around us. Oh, we have heard of one from our sister congregation far away, a young man so suddenly in this week taken out of this life, an accident, and one moment, then he is still traveling. And the next moment, then he has come so suddenly, so unexpectedly, so young, to the end of his journey. Oh, remember those parents. Remember the family. Uphold and strengthen. Lord, give us also understanding hearts. Oh, look upon him. A young man also in the midst of us, also an accident. Oh, it could have been with him as with the other. But thou hast made a difference. Oh, thou hast drawn a line. Thou hast spared his life. Thou hast given him a still to continue. Oh, bind it, Lord. Bind it upon his young heart. Oh, give him to say this day, what maketh me to differ? And oh, that he may be given such a deep impression, that he might turn, that he might yearn to seek and to know that God who has made him and that God who has spared him. Oh, look upon all the young people and the children. Thou hast spared each one through these weeks where they were off from school. Lord, thou hast taken none of them away. Oh, may thou give hearts to acknowledge thee, and also give that when they may begin, if thou wilt spare us in the day of tomorrow, oh, may thou give hearts that may go out to thee. Oh, it is not often the desire of the young hearts to go to school where there is work to do, where there is learning to be done, where there is labor, where it can be for some of them so difficult. Lord, may thou remember them and give them to see the great privilege, and that was not given to so many in the days gone by. Give them to work with great diligence, oh, give them help from above. And may thou give love for one another, all that there may be in their hearts, a desire to walk according to thy word. Wilt thou strengthen the principal, the vice principals and the teachers, all the aides and those that help in any way, all keep on the way to school and home again from all accident and danger in the year to come. And, oh, Lord, could it please thee to use that instruction for the good and for the welfare of the children and youth of this, our dear congregation. Oh, may thou give that it may be sanctified and blessed, and that it may one day bear fruit to the glory of thy name and to the welfare of their poor souls. Remember all that are afflicted. We remember especially him and that has undergone testing in the weeks that have gone by. Lord, thou knowest the message that has come to him. It is such a serious message, Lord, that he has heard, and that it is necessary that he set his house in order. Oh, Lord, may thou help him. May thou look upon him in the time that he still has left. That time is short, according to man. Lord, may thou give him, even in this time, a heart that may go out to thee. Oh, then it seems for him an impossibility. He has come already to a great age. Lord, he must say that he knows not of that work that he needs to know. And Lord, who can give it to him? Who can give it to himself? Oh, thine arm is not shortened, Lord, and thine ear is not heavy. Oh, there is none for whom it is too late. He is still in the land of the living. We beseech thee, Lord, that thou mayst still remember him. Oh, would it not be to the honor and to the glory of thy holy and worthy name when he may yet testify, oh, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. Oh, give that the angels in heaven may yet rejoice over this man, and when he may yet come to a true repentance, and when he may see a way open in thine only begotten Son. Lord, wilt thou look upon all those that are sick, all that are afflicted, also her that may have come home from the nursing home again, and that was to be in our midst in this morning. Oh, if she may be amongst us, may thou give her a heart to acknowledge thee, and may thou melt her under all thy great goodness. Lord, come thou, look upon us this day. Oh, we are of ourselves so unworthy that thou shouldest give us the smallest blessing. Lord, we beseech thee not to look upon our sin, not to look on our worldly heart, but to look upon thy dear Son. Thou hast promised him a seed that should serve him. Thou hast promised him, because of all that he has done, that there would be a people who would in this time and for that never-ending eternity glorify him. Oh, could it be that even in the midst of us that people may be born this day? Lord, remember us for thy sake and for the sake of thine only begotten Son. Help us, therefore, to bring this little portion of thy holy word. Lord, we are also of ourselves so ignorant, and we do not know how to feed thy people. We do not know how to give a right instruction. Lord, it all must come from thee. Oh, help us then. Be in our midst this day, feelingly and believingly, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 73, stanzas 1 through 4. The Lord Almighty is my light. He is my Savior ever near. And since my strength is in His might, who can distress me or affright? What evil shall I fear? The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter number 73. As stanzas 1 through 4. Congregation, the words of our text you can find in the Gospel according to Matthew, there of the 5th chapter, the 8th verse. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So far the words of our text. Seeing God. First, what it means to see God. Second, who shall see God? Seeing God. First, what it means to see God. Second, who shall see God? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Congregation, what a blessed thing it is in our life that we may have eyes, that we may have sight, that we might see. Boys and girls, we have come now to the end of the weeks of vacation from school. And then it is possible that in those weeks or maybe in years gone by, that you have been brought to some place or another that you may see something. Perhaps you have seen the beautiful mountains, the beautiful works of God in the creation. But here the Lord Jesus, he speaks about seeing God. Did you ever see God? There are some that say yes. You have seen God, because the mountains are God, and the trees are God, and the rocks are God, and the fish are God. Yes, even you are God. Thus you have seen God, but that is false. Because there is a difference between the creation and the God of the creation. It is true that there are things that you may learn about God from the creation, that you may see something of the order, and that you may behold something of the magnificence of the creation and see something also then of the hand of the Creator. But the creation is not God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What man, congregation, has seen God? God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God, as a spirit, has no corporal existence, no natural body, a body that we may see with our eyes. Children of Israel have also understood very clearly the unapproachableness of God, that holy of holies, where no one may enter except that high priest once a year, and there then not without blood. And the men of Beth Shemesh, they have experienced also in their life of the holiness of that God. And yet we read still about God appearing unto men with some form, with some likeness, that men even in this world have seen God. We think of Abraham. How that the Lord has appeared unto Abraham in the form of a man, and that was before the incarnation of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of Moses. How that he was shown the back parts of God. He had asked the Lord, "Show me thy glory." And the Lord, he said, that no man shall see him and live. And so he has seen, we read, his back parts. We read of Isaiah that he has seen something of that glory of God and that he has cried out, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It is evident that the Lord Jesus speaks here in a figurative manner. To see what is that? That is to perceive. Thus, to see God, that is to receive a certain perception of Him. Sight is the best perception that we may have as human beings. Job, he said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." Thus, he says that seeing that was above the hearing, where the seeing there would be a greater perception of the Lord. Has he seen God physically? No. But the Lord has spoken unto Job. The Lord has brought Job, as it were, before him. And the Lord has spoken to Job of his greatness and of his might and of his power. And that was so clear to Job, that Job describes this as a seeing of God. Thus, to see God, that is a figurative expression of the revelation of God unto man. That is, when it is in the experience of God's people, so real as if we had naturally stood before a man to see him with our very eyes. For they shall see God. The seeing of God that is obviously in a positive way, in a positive sense, because otherwise, God is a consuming fire and there would be no desire for any one of us to see God. Thus, the Lord Jesus speaks about a very special communion. He speaks about a special imparting of the knowledge of God unto man, just as if he should see Him. That is an imparting of the knowledge of Him whom to know is eternal life. Then the Lord Jesus speaks about the enjoyment in the soul of that church, in that blessed communion, when they may be brought to see God, in whose image that man was created, whose presence man was created to enjoy. Congregation, what greater blessing can there be in this whole life than to see God? What a precious thing it is to see one another. What a precious thing it is to gather with our children, with our grandchildren, to see one another, to commune with one another. How much more to see God, our Creator, our Maker, the God of the heavens and of the earth. Are we ever jealous of Enoch? Enoch, we read, walked with God. Are we ever jealous of Abraham, to whom the Lord came and spoke? Are we ever jealous of Moses? Oh, these may be brought so near, so close unto God. These may be brought into that very special communion. And our human soul that has been created, that has been made with this spiritual capability to see God, to commune with God, blessed communion. Who can fathom what that communion is? But this communion is the blessed communion that our Father Adam has knowingly and willfully rejected. In prospect of what? In prospect of being his own God. In prospect of being independent, in prospect of walking in his own way. But this is now the communion that the Lord is placing a desire for in the heart of his children. In that new birth, oh, does our heart in this morning burn within us, that we may also be brought to see God. Because the Lord is giving such a desire that that separation may be forever taken away, that I may be brought again into his favor, that I may be brought again into his blessed communion. For they shall see God. By nature we are spiritually dead, and we have no desire that is a spiritual desire. We can desire to see one another, but we have no desire to see God. But in that spiritual life, how different that becomes. David was the man after God's heart. And what do we read of him? That he had to be chased, boys and girls, like a partridge on the mountains. Oh, read it. Do you know what he says? What was the greatest burden of his heart? Not that he had to leave his wife. Not that he had to leave his friends. But he said, "You have driven me away from the inheritance of the Lord. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell all the days of my life in that house of the Lord." Why? That I may behold the beauty of the Lord, that I may see God, that I may inquire in his temple. O God, my soul thirsteth for thee, and my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. Why? Oh, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Then he knew what it was to see God. And what may a man see then, when he may see God. Then he is given light. Or it is maybe just a little light. Maybe it is just a very little light. Because the Lord cannot shed abroad the abundance of his light upon his creatures here in this world. But a little light, a little entrance into that blessed being of God, into his blessed attributes, into his blessed divinity, his divine character, into his blessed person, in his human and in his divine natures, into his excellency of his being. Now with his natural eye, no, but with that eye of true saving faith, by which that beauty of God that is becoming so precious unto that people, then it is understandable that all the desires of this life, they are in that moment fading away. Because there is nothing that can be placed next to, in greatness, in glory, and in excellency, unto God. How is it then that a man sees God differently than the children of Israel have seen God at Sinai? When they have run away from that mountain, when they have said, let not God speak unto us anymore, lest we die. How is it that man, he may see God in such a different way? Well, Paul, he says that God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that was when, boys and girls, that was the first day, let there be light. When God, who has commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he had shined, he says, in our hearts. To do what? To show us, to give us what? Light. What kind of light? The light of the knowledge of God. Through his own dear Son. That is the brightness of the image of God. That is the express image of the person of God. Thus, they see God in the doctrine of his truth, wherein God is manifesting himself in his only begotten Son. Thus they see him as that mediator. By him that veil that is rent in twain, so that they see God as the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in goodness and truth. Oh, by him, they see that God shows mercy without compromising his justice, his holiness, his righteousness. Oh, even with our darkened understanding, boys and girls, even with our darkened understanding, then we can imagine at least something of the blessedness, of the happiness of that people that may see God. Because for them there is no need to fear for time or for eternity. Why? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, how blessed was Abraham, who is called the friend of God. And Solomon says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I wonder if we may have such a friend in this life and congregation, if that friend is God. But who are they that shall see God? That is our second thought. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure. What does that mean? To be pure. That means to be single. That means to be free of all extraneous matter. Something that is pure is not mixed. It is just one substance. So gold, silver that is tried in the fire to do what? To get rid of all the dross, to get rid of everything that is not gold, that is not silver, that it may be pure, that it may be only one substance, only gold, only silver. God is pure. In Him there is no unrighteousness. He is holy. He is undefiled. He is separate from sinners. And therefore, congregation, it is impossible to see God. It is impossible to be brought into the communion with God. It is impossible to dwell, to live with God, except that we are also pure. Or we cannot live with the filthy animals because we are cleaner than they. They would defile us. But congregation, how much more can we not live with God? Because God is holy and God is pure, and we are nothing but defiled with iniquity, with sin. What is the reason, boys and girls? What is the reason that God has sent forth Adam out of the Garden of Eden? Why? Was because of sin. That was a place, a symbolic place. That was a place where God dwelt. That was the place where God could dwell with His creature. And it was because of sin that God had to cast them out, because they had defiled themselves. Then they could not see God anymore. They could not dwell in His presence because of guilt, because of filth, because of pollution. Therefore, Paul, he says, follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Thus, holiness that is in the Word of God, connected with communion with God. Sin that is connected in the Word of God with separation from God. Moses says Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Paul says if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. This purity that is not merely an outward purity, but it is a purity of the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. That was the contention of the Lord Jesus against the Pharisees and the scribes. That He said, you are washing the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you are defiled. Thus, living a life of external ceremonialism and strict, yes, in their own way. But the Lord Jesus says, honoring Me with your lips and your heart that is far from Me. The Lord says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Then it is understandable, congregation, that you say, if that is necessary, that a man be pure in his heart in order to see God, then it is impossible. David says, the Lord looked down upon the children of men to see if there were any that did seek God. And what did he find? They are all gone aside. They are all turned out of the way. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. What man in this whole world has such a pure heart? What man in this whole world is without stain, without imperfection? Is it not the opposite? That the Lord Jesus says, you have a religion. You are as whited sepulchres, and you are within full of dead men's bones. There are those that contend, congregation, for a pure church. They say that it is possible for God's church to live without sin. They claim that that old man has been completely purified. That carnal nature of man that has been completely rejected. There are no more sinful thoughts. There are no more sinful desires. There is no more sinful will. But it is a claim which the poor and afflicted of God's true church cannot attain unto. It is a claim that cannot be attained to by a single one of God's people that we read of in the Holy Scriptures. Not Noah in his drunkenness. Not David in his adultery. Not Moses in smiting of the rock. Not Peter in denying the Lord Jesus. Not Paul. All wretched, he says, man that I am. Only read Romans 7. And James says that so very clearly, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. No, that pure heart is not a sinless heart. But a pure heart is a heart that is burdened with the remains of indwelling sin. That is a burden that is laying in the heart of every one of that true church. Because that pure in heart are a people who are struggling in a warfare. That pure heart, that is the heart of the new man that Paul speaks of. The old man, he is not able to do anything but sin. But that new man, he does not sin. We read that together. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Thus, that is that new man. But Paul says the flesh, that is the old man, that is lusting against the spirit, that is that new man, so that that new man cannot do the things that he would. In me, he says, that is in my flesh, that is that old man, dwelleth no good thing. Then he says, therefore, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. No more that new man that sinneth, but it is that old man that sins. Oh, what is the difference between the church and the reprobate? It is not the existence of sin, That is not the difference. It is the existence of a warfare. That is the difference. Because the reprobate have no new man or that pure heart. That pure heart is congregation made upright. Has your heart ever been made upright? To deal uprightly with myself before God. To be honest. That I am not born in communion with Him. But that I have sinned against God and that I have broken that relation in my father Adam. These have seen God in a different capacity. They have seen God as their judge. They have seen God in His righteousness to cut them off. They have seen God in His anger. Oh, that pure heart, that is a heart off of which the Lord has taken that cover of hypocrisy that He tried to cover Himself with continually. Oh, that pure heart that has new affections. Oh, that love for God, for His house, for His day, for His people. Do we know something of that pure heart? That pure heart has a new will. Oh, a desire to fear that God, to love that God, and to walk, boys and girls, in the commandments of the Lord, every one of them. But especially, oh, that pure heart is a sprinkled heart. That is a heart that has been sprinkled. Even as Moses had to take of the blood and sprinkle it upon the people. It is a heart that has been sprinkled with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a heart that has been washed from its filthiness. It is a heart that has been made clean in that blood of the Lamb. It is a heart that is cleansed from an evil conscience. Oh, it is a heart that is made pure. And made pure by that dear Son of God. And in the sight of a holy God, although it remains so impure in His own eyes, oh, it is a heart that the bride, she says, is a black heart, but a comely heart. Oh, a pure heart that is a heart that is washed, that is sanctified, that is justified by the Spirit of the Lord. And that a heart can appear before God's judgment seat. Congregation, do we have such a heart? Let us sing Psalter 441, stanzas 1 and 3 through 6. Most perfect is the law of God, restoring those that stray. His testimony is most sure, proclaiming wisdom's way. 1, 3 through 6. Of Psalter 41. Thank you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Congregation, that is a people with one expectation and one hope. And what is that hope? That is in a crucified Christ. Because outside of Him, everything is impure. But that people are given by the Lord to see in all their impurity that one drop of that shed blood, that is enough to cleanse them from all their iniquity. And then they are pure. Why? They are pure because He is pure. They are pure because His work is pure. They are pure because there is in Him no spot and no blemish before His own Father. In themselves, everything is partial. The darkened understanding that is only partially enlightened. That erroneous judgment that is only partially corrected. Those vile affections, they are only partially sanctified. Oh, that rebellious will that is only partially subdued. It is a people that have our fathers say a small beginning of that obedience. We read in God's word, it is the first fruits, or it is but the first fruits of that Holy Spirit. The work of sanctification is a continual work of the Holy Spirit in the life of that people. We read, purifying their hearts by faith. It is by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. James says, in many things we offend all. That perfection that is not until later. But it is sure, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will accomplish it in that day of Jesus Christ. And still, the Lord is admonishing often His own church unto a life of holiness. To Abraham the Lord said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. What did the Lord Jesus say to His disciples? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Why? Because sin, congregation, makes separation. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, then your whole body shall be full of light. But if the eye be evil, then that body shall be full of darkness. And when that church is walking in that way of backsliding, then we can be sure that there is very little of that true communion with God. What did the Lord say to His own children, Israel? He says, I will surely hide my face from you because of your evil ways and because you have turned yourselves unto other gods. And so will be the way of that true church of God. The hiding of His face. Why? Oh, that they might learn to walk in that way of holiness here below. A hard lesson. A hard lesson. A lifelong lesson. But blessed. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Oh, there are degrees. There are degrees in that seeing of God for that true church. It is a promise for the time, and it is a promise for that never-ending eternity. In the New Testament, that sight of God that was much greater than it was in the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, that was but a way of shadows. But Paul says, now, It is as seeing a face in a glass. And yet, he says, it is through a glass darkly. Why? Because there is going to be another difference. Because there is going to be a clearer sight. The full extent of the purity in heart that will be for another day for the people. Likewise, the full extent of that sight of God is also reserved for another day. Job says, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet he says, in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see myself and not another, whom my eyes, he says, shall behold. And that sight that will take an eternity for that people to take in. David says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake with thy glory. And when that which is partial, in part, that has passed away, then that which is perfect shall come for that true church, or that is a state that we know so little of. But the knowledge of God is going to increase, and the communion is going to increase, and the people will be ushered in to a blessed and intimate communion, not only with their Maker, as Adam knew, but also with their Redeemer, which Adam knows now. And he and all the people forever shall abhor themselves because of their sin. But at the same time, all they shall see God, the triune God, forever and forever, to magnify and to glorify Him in His wisdom, in His power, in His salvation. And they shall dwell with Him, and they shall commune with Him, even as the brothers of Joseph were brought to commune with Joseph, not as those who were in themselves so pure of heart, no, but as those who had sinned everything away, and who may acknowledge that everything, from the first to the last, has come from another sight. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Congregation, will that also be our portion? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, oh, we cannot give it to one another. It is such a blessed portion, a portion we have no desire for by nature, a portion for which thy people are so slothful. Even after received grace, oh, give them to turn their backs to this world, to be an example in the midst of congregation and community and this whole world, to seek a country, to seek a city. Oh, go with us now to our homes. Bless thy word. Be thou the after speaker. Forgive our many, many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 417, 1, 2, and 3. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. Oh, let therese in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where 'neath thy wing I'll be supplied. With grace thou wilt provide. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 417.
Send forth, O Lord.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.